The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
The word love, and you want to think about that which is warm and fuzzy. No. Love is the greatest commandment God has ever given man. Love is the very power of God. And without love, you have no power. Without love. Remember in Matthew chapter 22, when the Pharisees had heard that Jesus put the Sadducees to silence, the Pharisees gathered together, and then they put up this little lawyer, and he came to Jesus to tempt him to say, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" Now, this was a setup question. And I knew he was trying to get Jesus to pick one of the commandments of the Ten Commandments. Everybody know what the Ten Commandments are? Well, this lawyer asked him, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, what this lawyer had in mind that Jesus was going to talk about, the Ten Commandments. But Jesus didn't even talk about the Ten Commandments. He says, "The greatest commandment is this." And he quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Then he went on and says, the second is likened to it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Quoting from Leviticus chapter 19 on that one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you can never love me if you don't love yourself. See, you're just fronting. You're trying to fake it till you make it. How are you going to love somebody when you don't even feel good about yourself? He said that was the measurement. You love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. Then he says on these two commandments, loving God, loving others and yourself, on these two commandments, he says, hang all the law and the prophets. Boy, that's a mouthful. Do you know who the prophets were? Moses was the first major prophet in the Bible. Samuel was the second major prophet. Then there was David. David was not only a king, he was a prophet. Then we get to further on in the Old Testament. There is the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. They are four major prophets. Then in addition, there's 12 minor prophets. But look what Jesus said. On these two commandments, on these two, loving God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind, loving your neighbor as yourself, on these two commandments, hang everything that Moses taught you. Hang everything that Samuel taught you. Hang everything that David taught you. Everything that Isaiah said. Everything that Jeremiah said. Everything that Daniel said. And Ezekiel. And the other 12 minor prophets. He says, on these two commandments, hang everything they said. They thought he was going to talk about the Ten Commandments. Many of us don't even have the revelation of the Ten Commandments. Thank God for the Ten Commandments. But if you can walk in the Spirit and you can yield the fruit of the Spirit, you automatically are being a doer of the Ten Commandments. Do we understand the two Ten Commandments? Now check this out. Jesus told this lawyer, what's first is loving God. What's second is loving your neighbor as yourself. The Ten Commandments teach us the very same thing. Don't you look at me like that. I'll break it down for you. The Ten Commandments teach us the very thing. The first commandment, the first four commandments in the Ten Commandments deal with your relationship with God. And the last six of those commandments Deal with your relationship with yourself and others. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other God before me. Commandment number two, thou shalt not make any graven image in heaven above or in the earth beneath or even in the water beneath the earth. Commandment number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Commandment number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. All those four commandments deal with your relationship with God. Then he gets to commandment number five. Now this is loving your neighbor as yourself. He says you shall honor your father and your mother. Come on. If you don't get it right vertically, you'll never get it right horizontally. You shall honor your father and your mother. That's number five. Number six, you shall not commit adultery. To commit adultery is really gross respect of somebody in their relationship with another. And he says, no, how can you say you love them if you commit adultery? You should not commit adultery. Commit adultery, you know, a lot of people commit adultery because they say, honey, I love you, but what they're saying, I lust after you. There is no love in adultery. Number seven, thou shalt not commit murder. These are all dealing with your fellow man. Commandment number eight, thou shalt not steal. Why would you take something that don't belong to you? It belongs to somebody else, but you want it for yourself. Don't tell me you love folk when you steal from folk. Commandment number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, God says, you testify, but never test a lie. Don't lie on nobody. Then commandment number 10. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, his house, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. God says, keep your nose out of your neighbor's business. That's love. That's love. And so Jesus taught those Pharisees, he put that little lawyer in his place, that the greatest commandment in the law was to love God. You love God with everything that's in you, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Did you wake up this morning with your mind stayed on the Lord? Have your mind been filled with good thoughts about God today? This is how you serve God with your mind. Glory to God. Did you ever take the time just to meditate or to pray quietly? You're using your mind to do that. Glory to God. I've had demons come against me and even paralyze me in fear, lying in bed. Maybe some of you have experienced this too. And you're trying to talk and you can't say nothing because you're paralyzed. But I thought in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. And that demon had to loose me right then and there. Because I can still serve God in my mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Now Jesus said on these two commandments, loving God, loving your neighbor as yourself, hang all the law and the prophets. Now we have window coverings on the windows at our house. But we have a window, it's like a double window, and it requires two curtains. And my wife has a rod that holds both curtains. And if you can imagine that one long curtain rod, but that curtain rod is holding more than one curtain. Jesus said that's the picture. On these two commandments, these are the two curtain rods, and on these two curtain rods hang all the curtains of the law and what the prophets said. This is why Paul taught that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, and against such, there is no law. How can there be a law against these things? Because they are the fulfillment of the law. How many see what I'm saying? That's why against these things, the attributes of God's law, the fruit of the Spirit's love, there is no law against this, because they are a fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. Everybody know what the word love means? Everybody know what the word love means? Well, this word love that Jesus used here, and pretty much throughout the entire New Testament, is the word agapeo. Agapeo. And agapeo simply means God's unconditional love. It's love that exceeds human feelings. It's the love that values the preciousness of every individual. And why would you value that individual? Because they're created in the image and after the likeness of God. And to say you hate anybody is to hate yourself. I know it's hard sometimes. But you got to walk in the Spirit to yield the fruit of the Spirit. Huh? But that's what love is. It's not a feeling. It's beyond a feeling. It's a commitment. I'm going to treat everybody right. It's a commitment that I'm not going to lie to myself, nobody else, and I'm sure not going to try to lie to God. That's what love is. Is that right? God's love is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that fruit fulfills all the law and all the prophets. Now, let me see if I can close here. I want to give you three qualities to help you cultivate and demonstrate the love of God. Three qualities. And they're found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Let me paraphrase this so I can wind this up. The Apostle Paul, when he left for Macedonia, he commanded Timothy to remain in Ephesus. He commanded him, he charged him to stay there, so that you may teach some sound doctrine. So that you may teach them, this is not about genealogies. People were teaching the wrong thing. So Paul says, I'm commanding you, Timothy, to stay. And you command them to preach only sound doctrine. Tell them to stop talking about genealogies and all these other things, fables, and they do nothing but stir up arguments and disputes. They don't edify God. Amen. Then he went on to verse 5 and says, Timothy, the end of this commandment I'm giving you, in other words, the purpose, the objective of it, the goal of this commandment is so that you and they, number one, could have, Paul said, a pure heart, a good conscience, and an unfeigned faith. These are the three qualities that help us cultivate and develop the love of God in our daily walks. Number one, Paul says, you need a pure heart. A pure heart speaks of your desires and your motives. What is your desire and your motives dealing with God and dealing with other people? Some folks only want a relationship with God because they think they're going to get something out of God. It's sort of foolish to think that way because he's already freely given you everything. But what is your desire? Is it a godly desire? What's your motive for coming at me this way? is it out of a pure heart? We must maintain pure hearts if we're going to cultivate and demonstrate the love of God to others in our lives. Then he said, you got to have a good conscience. In other words, you got to have a clear conscience. Do you have a clear conscience? To have a clear conscience, one of the things it means that everybody you've offended, you've made it right with them, or those you think may have offended you. How many times there's an offense and we just let it slip? We don't have the courage or enough love to go to the person who we think offended us. And if you go to them, you may find out that you're the one in the offense. We don't have enough courage to go to them and say, brother and sister, we need to get this cleared up. I want to have a good conscience when I go to bed tonight. I want my conscience to be clear when I stand in the sanctuary, lift my hands, and worship and praise God. I want my conscience to be clear. But not only do you need a pure heart and a good conscience, Paul said you need unfeigned. In other words, genuine faith, not no hypocritical faith. Genuine faith. When you have genuine faith, because of love, you're concerned not only about God meeting your needs and your needs only, but you're going to use that faith and stand on God's word. You're going to stand on the word of God in your heart, not only to meet your needs, but you're going to believe God with that same faith to meet the needs of others. Let me give you a little secret. You want things to be done in your life? You want things to be manifest in your life? Start praying for them to happen in somebody else's life. Pray for one another that you might be healed. So these are the three qualities we need to develop, according to Paul. We need a pure heart. And we say, well, God knows my heart. He certainly does, but do you know what's in your heart? We need a clear conscience. Glory to God. We can't take the attitude, well, that's their problem. They got a problem with me, that's their problem. No. No. You're connected to them. They're connected to you. So if you think your brother or sister got an ought against you, you go to them. And if you offended somebody, don't wait to think it's just going to die out and go away. No, you go to them and ask them to forgive you, make that thing right. And if you think they've offended you and they haven't come to you, then you go to them. That's having a clear conscience. Then he said to Timothy, you got to have unfeigned faith. This is why I've charged you this way. This is why I've come at you like this. This is my objective, that you would have a pure heart, a clear conscience, and unfeigned. In other words, genuine faith. I want to close with John chapter 15, verse 8. Beloved, I tell you, the fruit of the Spirit is one thing and one thing only. It's love. And love has attributes. God is love. Love is joy and peace. Love is patience. In other words, long-suffering. Love is gentleness. In other words, kindness. Be kind to people. Love is goodness. In other words, live a good moral life. Love is faithfulness. Be faithful in your marriages. Be faithful in your relationships. Be faithful in your job. Be faithful at your church. Love is meekness. In other words, humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Yes, then temperance. Love is self-control. You can't keep saying, the devil made me do it. When are you going to walk in the Spirit and yield the fruit of the Spirit called temperance, self-control? The devil don't have to make you do anything. Love will make you do the right thing. Did you hear what I said? Love has to be the motivating factor in our hearts and in our lives. Amen? Love. Now in John chapter 15 in closing, verse 8. Jesus says to his disciples, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. Please notice, God expects for us to yield fruit. Fruit. He is not talking about soul winning here, getting people to become Christians. He is talking about the fruit of the Spirit in your life. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. In other words, you live in love. It's not something you turn on and turn off. You live in love. Now, let me, I'm trying to quit, but let me just throw this in while I'm up here. You know, in the English language, we have this limitation with the word love. We only have one word for love, unlike the Greek language in which the New Testament Bible is written. In the English language, we love everything. You know, I used to love playing racquetball, but I also love my wife. Does that mean my wife is like a racquetball? Do I take the racket and the ball to my wife because I love playing racquetball? Years ago, I used to love butter pecan ice cream. But if you look at that, you look at my major premise, my minor premise, and you draw the conclusion, logically, you say, well, if he loves ice cream, butter pecan ice cream, he loves Joyce, then Joyce is equal to ice cream. Now, that's a logical syllogism right there, okay? And see, that we're limited in the English language. We have one word for love, unfortunately. But in the Greek language, there's four words for love. Agape. Now, when Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, which I paraphrase, we didn't read it, he says the end of the commandment is out of charity. That word charity is the same name of this church, agape. Agape. So in the Greek language, the word for love is agape or agapeo. And again, it means the highest kind of love, the God kind of love, the love that's unconditional, the love that values the preciousness of every individual. And so if I love you, I'm not going to lie to you. If I love you, I'm not going to steal from you. Then the second word in the Greek language for love is the word phileo. And that's where your city you came from, that's where their name was derived from, Philadelphia. And it means brotherly love, friendly love, phileo, Then the third word is storge. Storge is just affectionate love. It's a handshake. It's a caress. It's a hug. It's holding somebody's hand, patting somebody on the back. That's storge. It simply means affection. And then the fourth word for love is the lowest, most base level of love, and that's eros, and that's animalistic love, sexual love. And so don't tell me you love me if the only thing you want to do is have sex with me. That's not love. If you love me, come on now, you're going to cook for me too. You're going to clean for me. Come on. You're going to help me. Pray for me. But don't tell me you love me if the only thing you want to do is have sex. Any dog or cat in the alley, that's all they do. That's eros. Most base, lowest form of love. This is why a lot of people end up in divorce. They thought it was agape, but it was eros. Come on. And see, the eros wears off. It gets old. You see, you got a physical attraction to somebody. I'm trying to quit. You got a physical attraction to somebody. Then all of a sudden, y'all been married for a few years, and now she's put on a little weight. Come on, she don't look like that Coke bottle that you were so lustful for. And all of a sudden, your waist is expanded too, and your hairlines are receding. You're losing it up here, and you don't look the same. Then all of a sudden, we're not compatible anymore. That's because all you had for each other was eros. But when you have agape, you got to have that first. When you have agape, the love of God, you're going to be committed to that person regardless of how they change or how they look. or how you look or change, they're going to be committed to you. They're still going to be storge. They're still going to be phileo, a sense of friendship with one another. You marry somebody with a physical attraction, man, that's going to wear away. That's going to expire. Thank you. It's just a matter of time. Let me finish here. John 15, verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. And as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Now, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. If a man loves me, Jesus said, he will keep my word. Now, let there be your evidence. There's no combination here. When you can't obey the word of God, guess what? You really don't love God. That's what Jesus said. When a man loves me, he would keep my word. And my Father will love him. And my Father and I, we will come into that man, and we will make our abode in that man. Verse 11, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I get joy when I think about how much God loves me. Oh, my God, what God has brought me through. I get joy when I think about it. Verse 12, this is my commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is not an idea. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you can't do it without the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. If you learned anything, give God some praise.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.